In our second reading today, St. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, where apparently there is some factions and fighting that is going on, and he gives them a rather difficult request. He says, I want you to agree about what you say, and let there be no divisions among you. I was thinking about that this week with all the political fighting going on, and think, well, that would be good advice from St. Paul to us too. Don't let there be divisions among you. Agree on what you say. And yet, how hard that is to do. I wondered, gosh, has it always been this way, that there's these fighting and factions that break out? And then I look at today's letter, and this, even in Corinth, people are fighting. There's factions breaking out, even amongst the brand new little church that Paul has founded. And of all things, they're fighting about which apostle is the greatest. And who belongs to who? Well, I belong to Paul. He's great. No, that's terrible. I belong to Cephas, to Peter. He's better. And like, imagine, to fight about who's better, Paul or Peter. And Paul's like, hey, knock it off. Are you baptized in the name of Paul? No, we all belong to Christ. Have some unity. What's with the factions? I think as we look around at all the political kind of factions and everything that break out, it just kind of hit me this week that we could really use maybe a little bit of a break from all the politics of everything. And with 24-hour news cycles, and we like to think that, you know, the news used to be like a half an hour in the evening where you get the news. This is what happened today. Now it's like this constant entertainment. And if you've got 24 hours of news, not all of it's going to be news. A lot of it is designed to entertain us, to keep us watching. If there's not controversy, they have to create controversy because that'll get us excited. Like, breaking news, this terrible thing happened over here. Like a cat ran across the street or something. Anything to keep us watching. We'll go live to the reporting. There's nothing better than a hurricane. So a reporter could stand in the hurricane and like, how is it out there? It's wet. Great. It's just crazy what we see in the news. I was watching some of the protests in Washington. And you got the cameraman's in the middle with pressure grenades going off and bombs going everywhere. Like, it's pretty wild out here. I mean, is that news? Or you have to ask yourself the even more important question: do I need to know this? Does this help me on my road to salvation? What value of this is it to my life that I stay glued to my TV and have to know what happens all the time? I know it's easy to do because it's just always there and it seems like it draws our attention in. But in the end, I know I had to kind of step back and say, all right, what is my real responsibility in all this? Do I need to be informed about exactly what sub-cabinet member did to their secretary today and who got approved where? Is that necessary for me today, for my eternal salvation? Did I spend my time doing that? Or is there something better I could do with my time today? Maybe God is asking me to pray more, to help someone in need, to tend to some other important business that I need to be doing. Having lived in Washington for the last 3 years, I'm very familiar with that political climate, and it does kind of pull you in. And I love history, so I would have been very excited to be in Washington in these days. And I have a friend that works in the Supreme Court, and I was asking her, so you probably got some pretty good tickets to the inauguration, huh? Because she always gets good tickets and access, and she tells me, Father Sean, you got to be kidding. I am getting as far away from the city as possible. I'm sick of it. I'm like, really? Like, where are you going? Iceland. And she did. She went to Iceland. She's like, Father, I've always wanted to see the Northern Lights. I'm going to Iceland. I'm getting away. And maybe that's a good kind of little check for us too, to say, okay, let's unplug for a little bit. All these factions and fighting. I'm on this side and I'm on that side. And in the end, maybe it's not so bad that we would be passionate about things. Certainly not. God wants us to be passionate. But are we passionate about the right things? That's a perhaps a better question. The people in Corinth, they're very passionate. It's just they're dividing into factions about which apostle is best and what side are you going to be on? Why this desire to break into all this? I'm like, has it always been that way? I know lately I've been getting into reading a little bit about the life of Alexander Hamilton. I like the Broadway musical, and so as a lot of things, you say, wow, if that's the musical, I wonder how well they got it to the real story. So I, you know, in my drive amongst the parishes, I'm listening to the audiobook on the biography of Alexander Hamilton. And here again, we have these great figures in American history, like Thomas Jefferson, who writes the Declaration of Independence, and Hamilton, who's the first Secretary of the Treasury, and Aaron Burr, who becomes Vice President. And, you know, you look at the election of 1800, just the third president that we're electing, and it didn't take very long to go from the beauty of the American Revolution, where everyone's united and we're all patriots, to by the time we elect our third president, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr are writing the most despicable things about each other in the papers. If you think this last election here was bad, I'm like, wow, could it ever be this bad in history? Yeah, the election of 1800 was even worse. These great men that seem so towering in our history are calling each other names in the papers, insulting each other's families, going out to find dirt on people in their private lives so they can embarrass them in public. And in the end, we know that the Vice President, Aaron Burr, shoots and kills the former Secretary of the Treasury, Alexander Hamilton. So it was bad. It seems like we're always tempted to, no matter how good it starts, to break down into these little groups. Well, as is often the case, the devil likes to get in there, and he takes what is good, that we would have passion about something, and he twists it and corrupts it just a little bit, so he gets in there and messes up God's plan. You think about this passion that people have. Well, should we be fighting and breaking into sides? Well, in one case, yes. There really is a battle going on that we all need to fight. When it comes to Satan and his plan, there really are two teams, and one is good and one is all bad. We really are in a fight in which Satan wants to undo us, and he must be opposed with everything we've got. It's a real fight that we can't sit down and just think it will pass us by. We really do have to get engaged and fight against Satan and his plan. We really are the good guys in white on the side of Christ, and Satan really is bad. That's true. That's a fight we need to fight. That's where God wants us to put our passion, to passionately choose Christ, to say, I belong to Christ, and I reject Satan and all his empty promises and all his empty show. That's where the passion should be. To be passionate about saying, I belong to Christ, I am a Christian, that is the most important thing in my life. But notice what Satan does. Rather than have us be passionate about that and fight that battle, what do? I am a Republican, or I am a Democrat, or I support this person, and that person's no good. And we get all this passion about earthly things that in the end all pass away and are not worth that kind of passion that upsets our lives, when really there is so little that any of us in our daily life can even do about that. What we can do is change our lives to be holier every day, to not worry so much about maybe the big fights that are going on in Washington, worry about the little fight for my family at home, to make all of us holier here. Put our passion there. Do that. That's what God is really calling us to. Notice at the end that Paul is just reminding the Corinthians, look, I didn't come preaching some flashy, flancy gospel with human eloquence. He's saying, I didn't just get you stirred up like a politician with rhetoric. I came preaching the gospel, something that is true. It might not be flashy and fancy, but it is eternal life. And I'm not going to stoop to the level of some politician to dress it up and try to win you over with rhetoric. He says, if I do that, the cross of Christ would be emptied of its meaning. Let us not then empty the cross of Christ from its meaning by taking this fight that Jesus won on the cross and fighting instead amongst petty little things and politics or the world or heaven forbid our sports teams. I mean, imagine if you criticize someone's sports team. Now that'll get people passionate. You know, let's maybe take today to do like my friend that went to Iceland. You know, we don't have to go to Iceland, but maybe we do need to step back a little bit and say, all right, presidential election, that's all over. My life goes on. What is God calling me to be right now to be holier? Be passionate about that. Because in the end, you have to ask yourself, if people looked at your life and they had to tell you, this is what I see in you that I think you are most passionate about, what would it be? Would someone say, I know him, he is so passionate about the Chiefs. Okay? Or he is so passionate for his political party or for her group that she belongs to here. If someone looked at your life, what would you be most passionate about? If it's not Christ, then maybe we can hear the words of Paul today reminding us, whose name were you baptized in? Who died for you? Was it any of these other petty things? No, it was Christ. So be passionate, but be passionate about something that is worthy.